everybody. This is the All Things That Go Bump in the Night podcast, and I am your host, Kelly. I apologize in advance if you can hear my air conditioner. It is hot as all get out in my bedroom right now, so I could not go any longer without it. I hope you all are staying safe, especially those that are being affected by the wildfires. If you are able to donate at all to those that are being affected by the wildfires, I highly, highly recommend that you do. And I think we're going to get started. All right, so I apologize in advance about the air conditioner. It's really, really hot in my room. Even though I'm wearing my sweater, I wanted to wear it. So those that have already listened to the podcast know a little bit about this topic already. I covered it in November of last year when we were just getting started on the podcast. But I'm going to be talking a little bit about Annabelle, the haunted doll Annabelle, and then some of the controversy and drama surrounding her, specifically with Ghost Adventures. A little bit of a refresher. I'm going to kind of go into the history of Annabelle, where she came from, and leading up to the drama that happened in July of this year. So in 1970, 28-year-old nurse Donna was given the doll from her mother for her birthday, who had purchased it from a hobby store. Now, in the movie, they used a porcelain doll to portray Annabelle, but that was because the original Annabelle doll was actually a very large Raggedy Ann doll, and obviously the people that own Annabelle, Raggedy Ann, they did not want this story tied to their brand, so they had to come up with a different doll to use, and that's where they came up with the creepy-ass porcelain doll. So Donna lived with her friend Angie, who was also a nurse, and then Angie's fiance Lou. This specific doll, we can gather, you know, that this doll was basically brand new when she was gifted it to her, because the calico dress that she was wearing was not produced before 1970. And since Donna was given the doll in 1970, we can basically guarantee that this doll was brand new. It started off really small, with just small, extremely subtle movements, but the doll stayed confined to wherever they put it. But over time, the movement started to become more noticeable. Eventually, the doll would be found in different rooms with either her arms or her legs crossed, or standing on its feet, leaning against a chair. And then there was one occasion where they actually came home and found the doll kneeling on the chair. They did try to recreate that, and they were never able to get the doll to a kneeling position because it's a very soft doll. It does not stand on its own. Hi, Mickey. So, eventually, notes started to appear that said, help me, help us, help Lou. And they were written on parchment paper, which the girls did not own. They did not have parchment paper in their house. They did come home at one point to finding the doll appeared to have blood on the back of its hand and then 3 drops of blood on its chest. They never figured out what that was, whether it was indeed blood or if it was paint. You know, they couldn't figure it out. After about 4 to 6 weeks of all of this, Donna ended up contacting a psychic who performed a seance in the house. The seance claimed that a 7-year-old girl named Annabelle had died on the property before the apartment complex was built. There were two separate stories. So in Ed and Lorraine Warren's book, so that the apartment complex and the child dying on the property, that was what was said at a conference by Ed and Lorraine Warren, who ended up getting the doll. But in their book, they kind of contradicted themselves by saying that she had died in a car accident in front of the apartments. So we don't really know for sure. But Annabelle basically claimed that she just wanted a family. So the girls ended up allowing the spirit to stay because, you know, they thought this was a child. But immediately, Lou had from the very beginning, stated that the doll was evil and that they should get rid of it. Obviously, they didn't. And that kind of made the spirit that was in the doll angry. There was one night where Lou was in a really deep sleep, and he woke up very suddenly out of this deep sleep and felt that he couldn't move. And he looked down at the foot of his bed, and there was Annabelle, and very slowly she glided up his legs, over his chest, and strangled him until he passed out. You know, this could be a simple case of sleep paralysis, where it feels like you're awake, but your body is still sleeping, and you start to have these waking dreams is what I call them, where you hallucinate, basically. You're dreaming while being awake. And so, I mean, it very well could have been just that. But again, it might not have. We will never know, really. So there was another occasion where Lou and Angie were looking at maps, because Lou was going to be leaving the next morning for a trip, and they started hearing rustling sounds coming from Donna's room. So Lou went to the door and waited for the rustling to stop, and when he opened it, he found Annabelle in the corner on the floor. So he went to go pick the doll back up, but he felt like somebody was behind him. So he went to turn around and leave the room and ended up screaming out in pain, doubling over and holding his chest, which had begun to bleed. What had happened was something had left 7 claw marks on Lou's chest. There were 4 horizontally and 3 vertically. And they were hot like burns. But the weird thing was they healed within just 2 days. So my guess is they were not very deep wounds. They were probably very, very shallow wounds. At that point, though, the doll ended up being handed over to Ed and Lorraine, who then put it in their occult museum that they ran out of their home in Monroe, Connecticut. So it stayed there. It's still there to this day. You know, that was in 1970, so what, 50 years, I think that's 50 years. I don't math well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do the math right now, but I'm going to say it's 50 years. So she was kept in this glass case at the Warren Occult Museum, where, you know, the Warrens would have little tours. And there was, at one point, there was a man who was there who basically, when he saw the doll, ran up to the doll, started taunting it and tapping the glass. Now, if you look at photos of where she sits inside this glass cabinet on a stool, and it says positively, do not open or touch or open, one of the two. And so he went up and he was tapping on the glass, you know, telling it to hurt him, do its worst, you know, if you're gonna, I don't believe in this type thing, you know. So Ed ended up kicking him out of the museum because, I mean, if you can't be respectful in a museum, then you don't need to be there. But it may have caused his death. At least that's the story that's going around. So 3 hours after the man had been kicked out of the museum, him and his girlfriend were riding on his motorcycle, and he lost control of the car and crashed and crashed into a tree and killed him. She ended up surviving, but she spent a year in the hospital recovering from that accident. So that's kind of where it's at now. Lorraine did recently pass away, I think last year or the year before. And Tony Spera, who is married to the Warren's daughter, Judy, he is now basically the curator of this museum. He supposedly he's gone on a whole bunch of ghost hunts with them. I don't know. I personally do not believe a word out of his mouth. I do not trust him. But, I mean, he's in charge of it now. So, in 2017, this is kind of where all of the drama starts. So in 2017, Annabelle was featured on Ghost Adventures. And Tony flew from Connecticut to Las Vegas to Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum. And that's where they did the investigation. It was a very, very short episode. I think it was like only a 30-minute long episode. And when Tony brought the doll, she came in a locked suitcase. So immediately during the interviews, Zach began to feel very sad and overwhelmed. And if anybody has ever watched Ghost Adventures, you know that Zach is he claims that he is sensitive. And I don't doubt that he has some sensitivity with him. You know, when you do ghost hunting, you know, you tend to be a bit more open, I feel, after enough time. But, I mean, obviously it's very over-exaggerated. It's a TV show. It has to be in order to keep, you know, views. But, yeah, so that he claimed he was feeling very overwhelmed and sad before they even started the interviews. During the interview with Tony, there was an EVP that was picked up by one of the audio guys, and it sounded like a young girl whining, is what they had said. It sounded very, I would not have classed it as a whine. It sounded more like, to me, a laugh, but either way, they picked something up that sounded like a little girl. One of the things that made me laugh during that episode, though, was the fact that Tony used oven mitts to get Annabelle out of the suitcase. First, he washed his hands with holy water, and then he put on these oven mitts and pulled her out of the suitcase. I just thought that was hilarious. What's an oven mitt going to do to protect you from a spirit? You know what I mean? He did end up making Zach wash his hands with holy water and then, you know, do the sign of the cross with the holy water. It was very, very over-exaggerated on both parts. They did get a lot of EVPs during their investigation. Things like electricity, listen. They caught Annabelle quite a few times and Anna. And then at one point, the men asked, you know, what do you want? And the spirit box ended up saying, you. So that was pretty creepy. They use they call it the SLS camera, and it basically is a bunch of little tiny, it maps figures, basically. And so it ended up mapping two figures. One was obviously Zach. It could map his figure as it shows up as like stick figures. And then there was one inside Annabelle. And there were multiple points where you could see this figure inside Annabelle jumping into Zach. And that was pretty interesting. Hi, Farah. So that's when things kind of started to take a turn for the worse, though. When the figure was first mapped jumping into Zach, he started to go kind of into a trance and kept claiming that the doll wanted him to touch him or touch it. And, you know, Tony is over the walkie-talkies, you know, saying, "Don't do it, man. This is how you end up with an attachment. This is how you get a demon attached to you. This is what it does. You know, you don't do that." And, like, instructing him to pray. And Zach started to get really, like, frustrated. And he was like, "I don't want to do that right now. I don't want to pray right now." And, you know, eventually, Zach did end up touching Annabelle's foot. They have it on camera and everything, and that's when Tony kind of cut the investigation short, claiming that, you know, he was putting himself in danger, yada, yada, yada. And I'm sorry, this is what they do for a living. You know, even if a lot of it is staged, if a lot of it is, like, I don't doubt that they experience a lot of things, but I think it's way over-exaggerated. But I mean, this is kind of what they do for a living. It's what they've always done. And for Tony to act like they had no clue what they were doing kind of irritated me. He ended up packing Annabelle up and leaving. That night when Zach got home from the investigation, as soon as he pulled into his driveway, his odometer, which is what reads the how many miles you used on your car, hit 6,666 miles. That was pretty interesting. And then the next day, Zach's car was almost struck by lightning when a freak thunderstorm hit. I don't know. I've never been to Las Vegas, but from what I've heard, you know, it's not common for there to be, you know, for it to rain over there, since it's the desert. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, I just don't know how often it happens. But the fact that they caught electricity on an EVP just the night before, I thought that was really interesting. So, all was fine. You know, Zach did end up making a post on Facebook shortly after the episode aired, where he was like, you know, "This is what I do for a living. I know everybody was saying it was stupid of me to touch the doll and that I'm being dumb, you know, but I have a museum full of haunted things. This isn't something that really scares me. I'm not too worried about it, you know." And I get it. I do. I completely understand. So, again, that happened. So all of this happened in 2017 when the episode aired. Flash forward to July 31st. So July 30th, Zach has started a new TV show called Ghost Adventures Screaming Room, where they sit in his home theater and they watch their old episodes and they kind of provide commentary on all of their episodes. So they ended up doing an episode on Annabelle, and it aired July 30th of this year, so 2020. And Tony had a lot to say. He was very, very angry, and it started kind of a Facebook and Twitter feud. And that's kind of where this episode was kind of going, was to cover a little bit on that little Twitter feud. So this is what Tony posted on Facebook. "Ghost Adventures. I wanted to give you my take on the Ghost Adventures episode that aired last night, July 30th, 2020, with a look back at the Annabelle episode. Remember one thing. Zach and his crew are doing the show Ghost Adventures for money. They need to seek out high ratings to continue to keep the show on the air. They may have started out years ago with good intentions, but now, sadly, they are just performers acting out their parts. I brought the doll to his museum in good faith, and with the very specific understanding that the doll would never be touched by anyone other than yours truly, and that the doll would never leave my sight. That's why I even demanded a first-class ticket for Annabelle, who sat next to me in her case on the flight. The one thing Zach left out about his little diatribe about how the young man on the motorcycle didn't ever touch the doll. So why isn't Tony concerned that I'm so close? Well, first, I was concerned that he was getting too close. Second, the young man on the motorcycle challenged Annabelle to do its worst. He said, if this doll can do anything to me, do it to me right now. That was a challenge to the demonic. And the evil within the doll doesn't have to listen to a human. It can do its worst at any time. An hour, a week, a year later, and it did. Zach has no idea what he is doing. Not in the paranormal sense, anyway. My mistake was believing the producers when they promised that they would show ultimate respect for the doll's evil nature and would be professional in every way. It was a mistake to bring the doll. I will own that. That's why, when the following year they asked me to bring the doll to Zach's museum yet again, I declined. I will never bring the doll to another TV show. The producers and the cast of these shows really do not know the dangers associated with Annabelle. I do. Our team at NESPR are the real professionals. We use the ultimate knowledge and power to fight evil. And that knowledge and power comes from God and our Almighty Creator. And from the teachings and mentoring of the most knowledgeable humans on earth with respect to the supernatural and preternatural, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Ed had more knowledge of the paranormal in his pinky finger than Zach and his entire crew has. I am not angry with Zach, but I am concerned by him, or for him. By challenging and treating the preternatural realm as some sort of game, a way to make ratings, is a dangerous thing indeed, kind of like Russian roulette. Why take that chance? Tony Spira, director of NESPR. So, that's kind of what I saw first. I don't know how it showed up on my timeline, but it did. So I ended up having to Google to see what the heck was going on. And I ended up coming across Zach's response on his personal Facebook page. So Zach responded with this. Tony Spira, Annabelle's owner. I am fed up with the nasty things this man is saying about myself, my entire crew, and our show. Just an FYI, I don't get into social media conflicts often, but I am not a fan of Tony Spira, Annabelle's current owner. He said very nasty things about my crew after our original episode for no reason and continued to do so after last night's screaming room. If his claims of Annabelle being purely evil, demonic, and had the power to cause a guy's fatal motorcycle accident just for talking to her from outside her protected case, then why would he even take her out of her protective sealed case that Ed and Lorraine put a sign on that reads, warning, positively do not open, then cram her into a small plastic briefcase and use oven mitts to carry her around my museum, putting her in a high chair, and let us investigate her. Oh wait, for a large amount of money he was quick to collect after he stormed off set. Wonder how Ed and Lorraine would feel how you took Annabelle out of a case they said never to for a big check. Stop being a hypocrite, Tony. Tony questions and slams our knowledge of the paranormal, but he thinks the doll's demon will behave because he's wearing oven mitts to hold her, and we are safe if we only don't touch her, but can be within inches from her / investigating her. I was clearly being affected by something during our investigation with Annabelle, and we documented incredible evidence with Tony watching live, but Tony never cared about any of that or understood that I was being affected. Before Tony took Annabelle out of his briefcase, I wasn't feeling well, so I asked Tony if this could be caused by Annabelle. He told me I was being affected by Annabelle. That's a warning. Annabelle doesn't want us to show her. That's a forerunner. Then when I did subconsciously touch her foot, I explained to Tony that I didn't recall doing that, which I didn't. I even apologized. We even captured grab foot on our live EVP device, which was pretty compelling. Remember, he told me Annabelle was affecting me, so why wouldn't he understand that and offer me concern or help in this situation? And as the keeper of that doll, he shouldn't have attacked me, but been more sympathetic to the situation and offered to help cleanse me with his holy water. Now remember, Tony told me I was being affected by the forerunner, Annabelle's power, before the investigation even started. But he did nothing, didn't use his holy water to help, Nothing. Is all his hate, negative posts, really fueled by me subconsciously touching his doll's foot? Did I damage the doll? No. Does Tony care about my well-being? Hell no. This was just something he could use to get his money and get back home, which he did in a hurry. Just asked for his check, and here's the best part. He took off his rosary as soon as he was handed his big check and left it in my museum. Why would he do that? If Annabelle just had this power to affect me before even taking her out of the briefcase, wouldn't Tony want to stay protected as well to this demon-possessed doll that he was using oven mitts to carry? Maybe he has a deal with the devil. I don't know. Tony wrote, I brought the doll to his museum in good faith. Really, Tony? We didn't pay you thousands for this as you demanded? Laughable. Sounds like a quick money grab. Get in and get out. You didn't like us before you even arrived. That was obvious how your nasty attitude was to all of us off and on camera. Not a nice guy at all. Tony said the young man who died in the car accident challenged Annabelle to do its worst. Here's what Tony quoted the man said as the worst. If the doll can do anything, do it to me right now. Hey, Tony, as you agreed to let us do this investigation, not in good faith, as you wrongfully stated, but for thousands, wouldn't you assume our investigation we'd also be telling Annabelle to do something for evidence? Wouldn't that also put us in fatal risk? But was the check you collected more important? Tony also demanded first-class tickets only for he and Annabelle. I'm sure Annabelle would have been extra demonic if she had to fly coach. He demanded a first-class air ticket for a demon. LMAO. And you want to disrespect my entire Ghost Adventures crew by saying Ed had more knowledge on his pinky finger than my entire crew does? You were a hater of me and my crew before you even arrived that day to my museum. Everyone stated how bad your condescending attitude was the moment you arrived. And it's not all about the money for us. So says the man who owns the money-making Hollywood doll who demanded first-class airfare and thousands of dollars. This is our life. So that's kind of where it's at. There was another Facebook post or tweet from Tony Spira shortly after that about a chair. I guess there was a chair that's been rumored Zach got from the occult museum, and he said that I would never sell anything to him, basically. I didn't quite read it because I had to work really hard to find this post, because he deleted the post, so I couldn't find it anymore. But yeah, it floored me. I mean, if this doll is so evil, why would you bring it onto a plane? A plane that if the demon wanted to, if it's so dangerous to everybody around it, why risk putting it on a plane to bring an entire plane full of people down? It just does not make any sense. I was in the Reddit group earlier today, or this evening, when I was trying to find Tony's Facebook post, and somebody else had a really good point. And what was I going to say? I can't remember. I think it might have been on the same point as what I had said. That's what I was going to say. So they had a really good point is, you know, how do we even know that this doll really was the real doll? I mean, in my opinion, it's not a stretch to think that this demon can travel. I don't see how it can be confined to just a doll. But it was just the way that he handled the situation, and with the way that Ed and Lorraine felt about this doll, I really don't think that he would have taken it out of the case, you know, for a ghost hunt on live television. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And I think that kind of does point a little bit closer towards the fact that maybe he just didn't bring the right doll. He might have brought a fake, and the spirit just came with him. I think Zach's also got another very good point, is if this demon is as dangerous as he says it is, then why did he take his rosary off? You know, and again, I don't really think that, because I believe at that time when this episode aired in 2017, Lorraine was still alive. So I don't think that Lorraine would have allowed Tony to take the doll out of the case with her still being alive, especially with how she felt about the doll. I really don't think she would have allowed that, you know. I was on his Facebook page because, like I said, I was trying to find the post. And he seems like he's a very angry man. Very angry, constantly posting hate all over his page, you know, everything against Black Lives Matter, a lot of racist posts, and I don't know, he does not sit right with me at all. Even when I first watched the episode, there was something about him that didn't sit right with me, and obviously, with Ghost Adventures, we know that it's, it's over-exaggerated, but we don't know this guy. I've never seen anything about him before. And I'm a big fan of Ed and Lorraine Warren. I don't know. He just seems like he's gotten famous off of their coattails, really. I mean, would he have all of this if he wasn't married to their daughter? Is kind of how I feel, you know. Obviously, I don't know the man personally, so I can't really make a 100% case against him. I can't say one way or the other how he might be outside of all this, but I don't know. It really just does not sit right with me. But that's kind of where it's at now. I watched the episode like twice yesterday and today just so I could have a refresher on the episode. And like I said, it was a very, very short episode. It was a two-part episode. One half was Annabelle, and then the other half hour was some fans that had won the chance to investigate in the Haunted Museum. And I thought that one was a really good portion. I really liked that other half of the episode. But I do agree with Zach in the sense that, you know, this is what they do for a living. That's what they've been doing for the past 12, 13 years now. And I don't feel like they are not knowledgeable. If that makes sense. I don't want to say that they're experts. I don't think they're experts. I don't think anybody is an expert in something that we are still trying to prove whether it exists or not. But I do feel like they have a lot more experience with it. But I'm excited. I kind of posted about it on my personal Facebook page, but I don't think I've posted about it yet on the podcast page. But I may be joining a paranormal team here in Spokane. So that'll be awesome. That'll give me a lot more material to talk about for the weeks that maybe I don't have enough time to do any research into a case. Kind of like this week was, you know, it was our first full week back at school and working and preparing to move, just a lot of stuff going on. But I am very, very excited about it. I have to take a workshop with this paranormal team to discuss, it's to test us, to see how we do in a ghost hunting situation. We're going to go on a little mini ghost hunt. It's kind of like a working interview, so to speak. And so I have that October 3rd. And the woman in charge actually just messaged me tonight and asked about, asked for my opinion on whether she should start a second paranormal team. So what she wants to do is have a smaller team to do like residential investigations, so people who are dealing with haunted houses, and then one for bigger investigations like the haunted hospital in Colfax and all of those bigger ones, and then occasionally, you know, meeting up and doing it all together, you know, bringing both teams together. And I told her I thought that was a really smart idea because, you know, that way it'll help a lot with scheduling instead of having to know, you know, schedule around all of their prior commitments. You know, they have a second paranormal team to go and do the smaller ones. And I think that's kind of where she's going to be putting me, is in the smaller one until I can get a bit more experience, maybe. But I'm beyond excited about it. I am super, super, super excited. Anybody that knows me knows that my goal in life has always been, like, my dream goal, my dream job is paranormal psychologist and cryptozoology. And then I want to have my own paranormal team eventually one day. I've been kind of throwing the idea around a little bit on my personal Facebook page about doing like maybe an all-girls Facebook, or not Facebook, ghost hunting team. I don't think I've ever seen an all-girls one before. We've seen all men. I mean, look at Ghost Adventures, they're all men. But I don't think we've ever seen an all-women's paranormal team. I just thought that would be pretty cool. But obviously I'm going to be bringing all of my experience from the investigations to the podcast and talking about that. And it's going to be great. Like I said, that's October 3rd. I know she's planning a big investigation on Halloween, but unfortunately, you know, my partner is going to be out of town, so it's just going to be me and my kids. I can't really leave my kids home on Halloween. I can't really leave my kids alone at night anyways, but kind of sucks, but that's mom life. You get used to it. Anybody have any questions? I kind of ran out of material, so. All right, I'm going to end this here, guys. Thanks for sticking with me while we talk about the drama in the ghost hunting world. One thing that I had said during the broadcast, I think I had exited out before I had said it, was I have a workshop coming up on the 3rd for, to possibly, it's a working interview, so to speak, for a paranormal team here in my town. I'm very excited. If I do well on that, then I get to join the team. And I'm very, very excited about that. Like, beyond excited. So I'll be able to bring you more content and be able to discuss those cases for the weeks that I'm not able to do in-depth research. But I will obviously update everybody as soon as I know whether I made the team or not. I will not be having an episode next week. We are preparing to move, and I want to be able to focus all of my time and energy on helping my son with his schooling and preparing for my move on top of work. So, thanks for sticking with me again, guys. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, my heart is going out to those who have been affected by the wildfires all along the West Coast. You know, if those that have not been affected, if you are able to donate anything, including just your time, please, please do. We need to come together as a community to help those who need it the most. And unfortunately, this is one of those times where it's definitely needed the most. But yeah, I think this is going to wrap it up. Make sure y'all are staying safe, wear your masks, practice good social distancing, and get your flu shots. Bye, guys.